Good evening. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. We are often think of this being the Evergreen State. That's sort of the logo or nickname for it. But we are a very diverse state. We have dry weather. This area only gets about 7 inches of precipitation per year, a little bit north of us in Yakima, or maybe 10. And you go over Seattle, I think it's about 30 to 40. You go over to the coast called the Olympic Peninsula, and they get 200 inches of rain per year. So it's a very diverse state as far as rainfall. And also the activities. Naturally, around here, we are dependent upon man-made lakes, actually. Really dependent upon God. God to send the snow, send the rain, so that they can fill up the man-made lakes. And otherwise, this would all be desert here. And but they that way the water comes down here gradually during the spring and summer and fall, and that way we're able to have a fruit basket here, a place where lots of different fruits are grown. It's certainly developed into a large wine country here. Over the last few years, after about 20 years ago, one of the wineries in the state won the, I think, the top award for the United States for the best wine. And all of a sudden, over the last several years, the wineries have just poured in here. They figure that within a year or so, we should be up to almost 500 wineries in this state. But, right, and this comes... not so much right where I am, but about maybe 10, 15 miles from where I am, lots of them are. And so this is an area for that. It happens to be certainly the hop capital in the United States as well. Hops are used for U.S. beer and also exported to Germany to make a large percentage of their beer. But we're known especially for apples, being the apple capital for the United States, growing generally usually over half the apples of all apples grown in the United States. And we certainly hope that you can benefit from that. We know from doctors and dentists, rank apples as the best thing you can eat for your teeth, and as far as helping clean them during the day when you don't have a toothbrush, and then in the evening with the other times, it's just a matter of the doctors as far as just overall health. Apples are an excellent source. So that's my two bits worth tonight on the fruit in this area. Cherries are done in our area, but they're in other parts of the state. They're still going to be picking them and shipping them probably until into August. So hope you enjoy some cherries. We are always speak to you from various parts of the Word of God. Last fall, we were especially talking about miracles and physical miracles in various ways, both in healing and deliverance, as far as evil spirits being cast out and people being released from the power of Satan, and as far as those evil spirits not only being cast out, but then the people being cured of epilepsy, cured of other diseases, getting evil spirits out of houses that start to be haunted, and that had been haunted for a year or two, and then all of a sudden, just by prayer over the phone, that and the binding of the spirits and declaration of Jesus Christ over the place, and the blood of Jesus Christ, and the houses being set free, and that then they call and let me know that, or some, I might run into them a couple years later on the streets, and I said, well, we haven't had a problem since that day you prayed on the phone for us. So, see, in the spirit realm, you don't have to actually be someplace necessarily. You may, if God, the Holy Spirit, says so, you may have to go there and do whatever the Holy Spirit says. But the Holy Spirit is definitely not limited by the location of people. So you can do a work as far as a miracle, no matter where you are. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit directs you, you don't go out on your own, but quite often when people call or speak to you, then things can open up, because they are basically... you're not trying to do something on your own. Somebody else is actually desiring a deliverance or something. And so that doesn't necessarily mean you'll do anything. It's the Holy Spirit says no, then you don't do anything. But usually when that happens, the Holy Spirit is, the purpose of your purpose in living, according to the Bible, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is the same thing. The Holy Spirit and we are to glorify Jesus Christ, which in turn, from all scriptures, shows that it turns around and glorifies God, our Heavenly Father, the creator of everything. So that's what I wish for you today, that this very day, that the power of God might come in you and come into you such a way that your relationship with God, if you don't have one, that it is that today you become a child of God. And if you've strayed, that you come back, and that He wants to bless you. It's simple. The Bible says that for those coming back, if we've sinned, that we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness or righteousness, either way. Righteousness is basically right standing with God. Unrighteousness means you can't stand before God because you're not righteous. Well, let's face it. According to the Word of God, none of us are righteous, but in and of ourselves. However, it says also that Jesus Christ became sin for us. When He was put on that cross, He became sin for us, so that all of our sin was put on Him. He was judged instead of us, and it says also that we became the righteousness of God in Christ, in Him. So, we got this great, fantastic exchange. The exchange is all of our sin, past, present, future, got put on Jesus Christ. His righteousness got put on us. But it doesn't count for anything unless we accept it. See, God doesn't force us to go to heaven. We can go to hell if we want to, or even if we don't want to, we just don't believe in it. We can end up going to hell too, but that's not God's purpose. No, what I understand from the Bible, that every person that ever lived, his name was, or her name, or whoever's name, was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Bible talks about warning us that our... so that we don't have our names erased. You see, it's God's purpose from the beginning of time that everybody be saved. However, it's obvious from Scripture that most people, probably over half, probably aren't going to be saved. they're going to spend eternity apart, separated forever from God. Not by God's desire, but by their rejection of Him. You know, it's a strange thing, all these different religions in the world, and we might even toss Christianity in there too. And when I say there's two Christianities, there certainly are. One is a religion, and one is a relationship. And the religion that you're doing works, good works to earn God's favor, well, that's not going to work. It's just like all the other religions of the world. You're trying to do good works, or you're trying to attain some state of nirvana or some other state that where there's no desires left. Well, that's sort of a contradiction in terms. If you're trying to attain no desires at all, that means you have still have a desire. That means you still have a desire to have no desires, which contradicts the whole thing. So we have people that are trying to earn their way in favor before God, others that are trying to become nothing, to just blend into the whole cosmos, but yet God doesn't want that. That's all counted as unrighteousness, unholy, unpure. Oh, His desire is for you. He loves you. He loves you so, so very, very much. He's sent, you see, He and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit already designed this place, but already knew that we would turn away from Him. So He designed ahead of time a plan that would bring about salvation. You see, He's not, most people just realize He's a God of love. Some people just think He's a God of vengeance. Some realize He's also a God of justice. And based on our sin, and we've all sinned, we are judged. But He has made a way that we're all counted the same as His Son, counted righteous and holy before Him, if we accept what Jesus has done. Because then everything that Jesus has done is accounted towards us, and we are saved, and we are blessed, and we are redeemed, and we don't have to face judgment. We can freely, as the Bible talks about, that we come boldly before God, as because we're righteous. Why can we come boldly before Him? Because Jesus' life, death, resurrection, His blood paid for our sin. And therefore, God the Father doesn't see sin on us anymore if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. In fact, today we are in the Gospel of John, there's four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John, if you have a Bible there, it'd be great if you could just pick it up. And the New Testament is the last one-fourth of the Bible. And it starts out with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then John, we are in chapter 14, we got a little ways into there, and we pretty much ended, basically, the main verse we were going over when we ended last week, was Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Boy, that is a radical, radical, radical statement. When was that said? That was said hours before He died. This was the night before. So, based on the Jewish way of looking at things, the new day starts at sundown. So, this is the last day of His life that has already started. It's after sundown, and they're, as far as the important things is, what does a person say when they know they're going to die in just a few hours? And they want to really communicate the most important things to their followers. So, or if you're going to die, you really truly love your spouse or your children or whoever, and you've got something to say to them. Usually we have something like we might have a last will and testament. And of course the last will and testament doesn't go into effect until the person dies. So that's all the inheritance doesn't come to a person. You don't receive it until the other person dies, because it only is a legal document. It's a legal document with no power until the person dies. At that time, then it is enforced. Whatever is the most recent testament, last will and testament, that goes into effect at that time. So what's Jesus saying? Well, there's many things. We started to get into this last week, especially in chapter 13, because this is where we're talking about. This is the 13 through 17 is Jesus praying to God, but most of the time speaking to the disciples, washing their feet. Well, this is one of those statements that is so important, that he has saved up to the last time and said, okay, now this is something to remember. And he said, to one of his disciples, Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I am a way, or a truth, or the way to life, or the way to truth. No, he is truth. He is life. He is the way. In fact, before the Christians were called Christians, they were called the people of the way. So that was their first really name that they had. That after Jesus' death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 50 days later, and at Pentecost, that all this supernatural stuff just started getting poured out on people, that here we see that they are called the way after that, between then and the time in Antioch in Syria, where they're first called Christians. That happened several years later. So they were first called by the way. And that's where this came from. He says, I am the way. So, in other words, for people that follow Jesus Christ, they were part of the way, because they trusted in Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life. And what he had the audacity to say, either he is God Almighty, who he says he is, or he is a raving lunatic, or a greatest liar and deceiver of all times. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, he is the doorway. He talked about that there is no other way, that anybody climbs up some other way trying to get to God is like a thief or a robber. But he is the door. He's in the door. He's the one that lets the sheep in and lets them find green pasture. And so he is the good shepherd, our good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And truly, no one comes to the Father but by him. And right here at the near the beginning of the program, I just want to tell you that you are great. You're a fantastic person that's listening to this program here on Late Night BBS, and God bless you. You know, there's just two kinds of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. The question is, which one are you? If you can say you're saved, bless you, that's great. If you're one that says, Well, I'm not one that's saved. Well, then that means you're one that's about to be saved. And bless you. And I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right. Open your mouth and repeat it after me. And think about it as you say this after me from your heart. Father, go ahead. Say that with me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Where's Jesus right now? What did you say? Did you say, Jesus, come into my heart? Well, then you can be assured on God's word that if you spoke that with your mouth and that was also coming from your heart and you wanted that, that you recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, then you certainly want him in your heart. I'm going to repeat this one more time and ask you to repeat this. And if you didn't pray it before, that you pray it right now. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Okay, we are in John chapter 14. And we're going to, verse 6. We're going to go on and finish up this chapter, and then hopefully get into chapter 15 and see how far we can get. Verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, what is he talking about, these works? Well, he had been doing so many miracles. So quite often, John doesn't call them miracles at all. He just calls them works, or he says signs. But really, today, we would call them outright total miracles and totally unexplainable by science, that miracles that people are dramatically healed, limbs grow out, eyes that people have been blind all their life. They might be 38 or so years old, but yet they're being born blind, and yet that God would open up their eyes. Or even where people that have not, even today, there's various cases of children and adults that were born blind, not even have eyeballs in their socket. And within a day, all of a sudden, they would form and grow and create, God would create eyeballs that would begin to see within less than a day, sometimes within an hour or two. And so, there's several recorded things. I remember, in fact, by one of the books that I am offering, that While Supplies Last, by Dr. T.L. Osborne, is that that's what happened in one of their crusades. And I know that other people, it's happened in other people's crusades as well, too. At least one other person that I had known. And so this God, as he declares, Jesus, the word of God says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, if he loved people years ago, he still loves them and will love them in the future. Remember, God is a God of love, but he's also God of justice. And one doesn't override the other. Both have to coexist because he's a God of total justice and a God of total love. But the only way justice condemns us, but his love, he provided the way of salvation for us through his son Jesus. We notice this last verse that said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. We saw this so many times in Scripture the last few weeks, is that he was always speaking to crowds of people, and part of them were just, I mean, had some of them had open minds, some of them were already following him, and many were planning his death and destruction because they hated him. But those who believed, he gave the right to become the children of God. Do you believe? Do you believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Then he's given you the right to become children of God. We see in verse 12, it says, most assuredly, that means I tell you the truth. This is the absolute truth that Jesus is saying. Whenever he says these words in Greek, he will say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. It's a double word, which always means this is an absolute. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, boy, that's an outlandish claim, isn't it? He said, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So he's telling you this is the absolute truth. The question is, how much do we believe in him? Well, I've participated in a very little of that. I've seen miracles happen in people, and things happen instantaneously. Some that might take a few days. So some of these instantaneous things are like people delivered permanently from epilepsy, permanently from demon possession, permanently from being for 5 years every day having a temperature that would go from normal up to around 104 to 106, and then go back to normal being jumping out of cars on the freeway at full speed and yet living. You see, this is the torment of the devil. So they've been set free from the devil. I've certainly not been used by God in many ways, most of the ways Jesus did, but as far as I have partaken in some of the things, and he has meant this, that, and we see this especially overseas, this happens a great deal overseas because it's so much easier for them to believe on the word of God. All of a sudden they see all these miracles happen. They don't have all this Western thinking that gets in the way of believing for miracles, especially in societies that happen to believe in the occult, and they've already have witch doctors or something else there. And so they already know the power of the devil. And so all of a sudden they see that there's a greater power. And so quite often they see a lot more miracles than we do, because they already have faith, they already believe. I mean, each one of us, the Bible says, has been given a measure of faith. How else can we be saved? I mean, God has given to every man and woman and child a measure of faith that we might believe on him and be saved. There is also faith to believe. You know, we can believe or we can doubt. Well, what is doubt? That is faith, but it's a negative faith. It's believing in our doubts or believing in science or something. Science is not contradictory. Sometimes it may seem like that, but science has so much in the last 100 years proved out so many things in the Bible that 100 years ago people did not believe were true in the Bible at all. And so many things in archaeology have been proved out now. And so it's just amazing the day that we are in, that the power of God, well, just think of back in the 50s, if you were alive back then, there was more of a Christian nation. And what has happened is that I think people in many regards have drawn closer to God and gone lots further away from God. Or it's becoming more a world in many regards of black and white. Many places where there was gray, now it's pretty evident of demon possession and even religions that have been spoken and have come up that in their own teachings. We see the terrorism today in the world today, and we know that those religions that bring about this terrorism, that that's not from God. They say that their God demands it, but that's not from God Almighty. You see, that came from a moon god, not from Almighty God. And that moon god is not part of the holy angels, but from evil. So let's go on. It says, talks about us to ask. You know, we need to ask God more. And it tells us in other places we're supposed to ask in Jesus Christ's name. The reason for this is that Jesus might be glorified and that the Father might be glorified, that God Almighty might be glorified in his Son. Well, some people says that God has no Son. Well, it's clear in the Old Testament that God had a Son. It spoke about the Son a couple different times. Be sure in the Old Testament, it talks about that we remember to kiss the Son. Well, that didn't make sense until the Son came. Jesus Christ came. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's in verse 15 of chapter 14 of John, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Did you hear that? If you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, he's saying, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Remember now what's happening? This is hours before his death. So these words are really important. So when he says these works, these mighty works that I've done, you get to do too. Well, just like our salvation, how does that come by? Faith, believing. Well, so every other gift of God is by faith and believing. So if we're not participating in some of that, it's not God's fault. It's we're supposed to enter into all the Word of God. The Word of God also declares, my people, he didn't say Satan's people. He said, my own people perish. In other words, they die for lack of knowledge. Now, is that God's purpose or desire? That we die for lack of knowledge? No. No, but that's what happens. So we need to know what the Word says and seek after God for answers. seek after the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. You see, we have to keep that uppermost in our mind, that Jesus Christ be glorified. Because, why is that? When he is glorified, that means the Father is glorified. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you want the Holy Spirit to help you and to reveal secrets to you, then you must have the same heart as the Holy Spirit. So you must unite with God in that desire, like the Holy Spirit's desire, is to give honor and glory to Jesus Christ, which automatically gives glory to God Almighty, the Father. So, let's read this again. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he, that he may abide with you forever." How long? Forever, ever, 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 ever. In other words, God is going to be with us and in us forever and ever and ever. Now, this is the promise. This hadn't yet happened. This was the promise of Jesus Christ. This was hours before he was going to die and be resurrected. But he's telling this to his disciples, to his apostles, and not just to them only, but to, there's certainly probably some women in the upper room, maybe, and all those that were very much his inner circle. And it says here, "that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him," in other words, sees the Spirit of truth, "nor knows him." They don't really know Jesus or the Holy Spirit. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Remember that those disciples, the Holy Spirit went with them and performed mighty miracles because Jesus had sent them out. And he sent out those 12, and then he also sent out 70 others that went out two by two. And God, through them, raised the people from the dead, cast out devils, healed the sick, and miracles were performed by them. But it was because the Holy Spirit was going with them, as it says right here. You see, at this time, though, he's saying, okay, he's with you right now. But what does he say? He dwells with you, but will be in you. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't going just with people, but you see, after Jesus dies and resurrects from the dead, then he, in the upper room, he breathes on his disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit into them. Then on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, then there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And spoke in other tongues, and there appeared on their heads like fire, tons of fire. Well, my goodness, this happened back just in 1906. It happened in L.A., Los Angeles. And the fire department was sent out to Azusa Street so many times because people reported a fire there, because it was obvious to the firemen and everybody that went by that there was fire coming out of the roof of the house. There was fire on top of it. Nothing was being consumed. The place was not burning up. And so they started, after a year or so of that, just discarding when they got a report of a fire at that one place, because it was a supernatural phenomenon. Well, you see, this was just one day that this was recorded back at the time of Christ, that just one day was the day of Pentecost. But then in the outpouring in Los Angeles, that was going on for more than a year. I think it was 2 to 3 years that went on. And so this same power of the Holy Spirit, as far as speaking in other tongues, and then actually having like fire from the roof of the place that was obvious to any passerby, that they called up the fire department, and yet they'd come and see the fire, but it would not consume the place. So, This is the Holy Spirit. He's not some just fiction. I mean, as I said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why miracles happen today, just like they did when Jesus was here. And he said greater miracles would happen. We know of people that have died and been dead for many days that have come back to life. So that is the purpose of God, to confront people that the word of God is true, because he loves you and he wants you saved. He does not want you to die and go to hell, but he wants you redeemed, that he wants you to be in a relationship with him always, that he, you might not be separated from him. And he provided a way for you. And that was by asking him, asking the Father, forgive my sins. And if you haven't done that, do that right now. Do that right now. Do that right now. Just say, Father, forgive my sins. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. That's right. Go ahead. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Then make this declaration. Make me the kind of person you want me to be, O God. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Then, oh, by all means, say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with and will dwell in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This is the declaration of Jesus Christ. The declaration of what he said the Holy Spirit would do also. Verse 19 of chapter 14 of the book of John, it says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them. It's not just those who keep the, have the commandments. See, we saw the Pharisees. My goodness, those are the ones that wanted and plotted to kill Jesus. Oh, they had plenty of commandments. They knew them. They had memorized the commandments word for word. They had memorized a whole lot of more scripture word for word. But they didn't keep them. In fact, Jesus said, I'm not going to bother condemning you. Moses, who you've trusted in, is going to condemn you. Now, this he wasn't speaking against Jews. No. Remember, he was a Jew. All the disciples were Jew. All the early Christians were Jews. On the day of Pentecost, it was Jews there from every nation. They list whatever it was, maybe 15, 16 or so different languages there, and everybody was hearing in their own tongue. What a miracle this was. But they were Jews there because they had come for Pentecost, and everybody was miraculous. This miraculous occurrence occurred. But they were Jews. The early Christians were Jews. And that was true for a few years, and then gradually more and more Gentiles, the rest of us started to believe. And now the last about 10 years or 15 years, there's been such a revitalization in the Jewish community that many of the Jews are beginning to come to believe in Jesus Christ as their salvation. And it was almost impossible for a Jew to be saved. And now there begins to be so many there that are coming to the Lord. It's just amazing. And we know that the end of the Gentiles is near. Because when the Jews start coming to the Lord, we know that the time of the Gentiles is short. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be any more Gentiles. It just means that God's blessing will turn back towards the Jews again. And we've seen that, certainly since their foundation as a nation, that it's beyond all odds, in total impossibility, they have survived. through all the wars. They own like 1-2% or something of all the land that they compared to what the I think I've heard that was less than 1%. The part of Israel that they have is less than 1% of all the land controlled by Arabs and or Muslim faith. But yet the Muslims want to take that as well. They're not satisfied with 99%. They want to take the 1% that's left. Even though the Quran openly declares that that land belongs to the people of Moses. And yet they've come to a place that they don't even, they don't read that part of the Quran anymore. They disregard it. And yet that declares that that land belongs to the Jews. And their own book declares it. It's amazing that it's, everybody has selective reading, and we need to come to God. We need to come to God. We need to come to God on a daily basis. So we see here, he who has my commandments, says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. I think I perhaps have skipped over just a little bit. Let me go, I think I maybe skipped a verse. Let me go back to verse 19. I know we were there. It says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Do you love him? Do I love him? Well, he says, the ones that love him are the ones that keep his commandments. So, let's be sure to keep his commandments. He's, and it says, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, remember this, there was two disciples named Judas. One was Judas Iscariot, and this is talking about the other Judas, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Okay, what did he say there? Let's, in fact, we'll go ahead and read one more verse and then come back a little bit. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So once again, he's talking about this. All these works, all these miracles, all these signs and wonders, all these words he's spoken are not his. He's declaring that many times he says, I don't do anything except what I see the Father do or what I see the Father say. Whatever I see him doing, then I do the same. So it's whatever he hears from the Father, those things he has declared to us. Okay, let's read these couple verses again. And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So what's that? Says, okay, if you love me, you will keep my word. Those things that I have said, have declared unto you, those things you're going to honor, and you're going to keep those things. You're going to do those things. He says, and my Father will love him, and we will come to you come to him, whoever keeps his Jesus' words, and make our home with him. That means God Almighty and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, will come and make their home with you. We don't have to be strays on this earth, apart, just walking and believing in the God that we're just part of the cosmos and God's in us and we're in God and all this. No, the true and living God will take up home and residence in you. If you've asked him to forgive your sins and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, then, and you're busy of with the Holy Spirit living in you, doing the listening to what God has to say in his word and doing it and listening to what the Holy Spirit tells you and being obedient to it. So it's what we, if we keep his word, we love him. It says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Uh-oh. Well, if we can turn around and look at our life, and if we are not keeping what he says, even though we declare we love God, we're liars. That's right. You and I are liars. If we declare we love God and we aren't obedient to his word. But also another place in the scripture, it declares that if we say we love God and hate our brother, we're lying. Because if we hate our brother or our sister, how can we love God if we hate our brother and sister? It's not possible. So, he says here again, he who loves him, he, God Almighty and Jesus Christ will come and be at home in you, in me. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Remember, these are the last words he said in the last few hours of his life. We continue on, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Okay, this is the last, at the upper room, the Last Supper. And so, he's saying, okay, let's go from here. Now, on their way, he's still teaching them before they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he makes his prayer to God. And so, he's saying, declaring to them, okay, he's already, the Judas left before this, tonight, before we started this part of the chapter, the last chapter reading. Judas had already left, the Judas Iscariot disciple, that the betrayer had already left. And so he was saying all these things to those that he knew would be faithful. And even though he knew they'd all fall away, that they would deny him even. Like he said, Peter, you will deny me three times this very evening. Before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. But take heart that when you repent, when you come back, that you will help lead your brothers, the rest of the people. So here we've come to the end of this. It says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. So whatever the Father gave him, whatever commandments he was given, he did those commandments. And he fulfilled those commandments. And then even when he's on the cross, he finds the last thing he says, it's finished. It's a matter of he completed all those things. And even in his statement, his quotation from the Old Testament, the quotation from the book of Psalms where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had to do that because that was the only time in eternity that God the Son was ever separated from his Father. Because the Father cannot look on sin. And all of your sin and my sin and everybody's sin was placed on Jesus at that moment, that justice might be performed and God could still judge and be a just God and yet be able to pour out his love towards us. To everyone that would believe on the name of Jesus, he then performed justice, and we were with Jesus. I mean, Jesus paid the price for us. And that blood, because he was innocent, and his blood was innocent, therefore it was counted as a worthy sacrifice. And our sin was placed on him. It was counted, just like in the Old Testament, they would lay their hands on the goat. Or whatever, that the transference of sin, the sin of the people, or the bull, the transference for the high priest of his sin would be transferred to the animal. There was a perfect animal. Same way with the goat. The goat had to be perfect, and the sin of the people was transferred onto the goat. Then the goat was as far as its death. It took place, but the sin was removed from the people because of that. It was a temporary thing that had to be repeated year after year after year. But finally, there was one, Jesus Christ, who was the Son of Man and the Son of God, that fulfilled all of that in and of himself, that you and I might be saved forever, that we might be made one with God the Father. Now, as he said, it was because of what we would do. What we would do, Jesus did the all-important thing. All of our sins were placed on him. But you see, that doesn't guarantee salvation for us. It then comes off responsibility on us to say, yes, I agree with that, and I accept that great work that you did. Thereby, it's just like Christmas time. There's a gift under the tree for you and for me. And it's our salvation and it's healing and everything else. And it's got your name on it. But if you say, I don't want it, I'm not going to receive it, then it does you no good. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars are in that package. It's going to do you no good. If you say that I'm not worthy, I'm not going to accept it, or that I'm too good, and I don't really need that to get into heaven. Well, you're participating in the trap of Satan, who's the father of all lies, and you're agreeing with him. You become a liar yourself. Don't do that. Believe in the Word of God. Believe God Almighty, God Almighty wants your salvation, your healing, your wholeness. He loves you with an everlasting love. He desires and hungers after your soul. He wants to spend eternity with you. But if you don't accept the good, gracious work of Jesus Christ, you'll be separated from him. It will greatly, when it talks about the tears in heaven, I truly believe it's not so much the tears of the saints, it's the tears of God Almighty for all those that did not come to salvation. Because he doesn't want them separated from him, but it's by their own choice or just going their separate way, they'll be departed from God forever. Don't you be one of them. Repeat this after me right now. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, say Jesus. That's right, do it. Say it out loud right now from your heart. Father, forgive my sins. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. Where's Jesus right now? If that came out your mouth and came from your heart, he's in your heart right now. And the Holy Spirit came in also. Ask him to baptize you. We just ask you right now, Heavenly Father, that you meet these people wherever they are, that they might be saved, and also that they might be baptized in your Holy Spirit, that you give them such a hungering and thirsting after you, that they might be filled, that they might experience not only salvation, but a greater salvation where you enter into every area of their life and turning their life around, that you heal them, Father, by the power of the blood of Jesus. We just declare that over these people tonight, that salvation might come in their household for them and their children and their spouses, then their parents and their siblings. God Almighty, we speak forgiveness in Jesus' name. We speak blessing in Jesus' name. Salvation in Jesus' name. We speak, Satan, you be gone from their homes. Be gone from tormenting them. From whether it be just tormenting their minds or by disease, we command you in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every man, woman, and child under this voice and the households of them, that those spirits, evil spirits that may be in their household, we command you to leave. And people, we call upon you. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. Do not leave a vacant place in your life, or a worse, we understand from the scripture, a worse thing can take place and come back in. If you don't fill it up with God Almighty, a worse thing can happen. Because we see from scripture, when a Satan or a demon is cast out, and that the there isn't, the place is clean, you can't, but there's nothing in there. In other words, if God doesn't come in, you don't allow Jesus Christ in there, then a worse thing can come upon you. So we want the blessings of God, the salvation of God Almighty to come upon you, that you might be blessed eternally and forever. Blessings, blessings, blessings I declare unto you. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. While supplies last, we've got a book that we'll send out free to you that will bless you. And we also have a couple others that are really fantastic as well. And just ask for your free book, and if you, I hope you ask for one of these or both of these other ones. One is The Power of Positive Desire. The Power of Positive Desire. And that is as far as all the wonderful training. There's lots of worldly wonderful training out there about how it can change your life and the goals and how you can be blessed. But if you want it from a biblical perspective, which is far better than what the world gives and really powerful, this will bless you and set you free and give you new life and give you a way to go about things, that the power of God will come in, that it's not just you trying to do things with your mind and your heart. Also, the other one is the good life, and it's sort of almost, I mean, it's both of these are filled with, they're easy reading, but yet just filled with so much scripture documentation. So if you want to study something, you can go back and find it in the scripture. If you want to study something that is brought up. The other one is called the good life, and it's just a sort of like a mini Bible course. Both of these are about 300 pages. One's a little bit over, one's just a hair under. And they're $15 a piece, or both of them for $30. I mean, for both of them for $25. Or just get the one that's free. And I just be glad to send that to you while supplies last. Again, send that to either to me, Dr. Don Cowan, or to Global Redeeming Ministries. That's Global Redeeming Ministries. That's P.O. Box 90, and it's Parker, Washington, and it's 98939. Again, that's P.O. Box 90, Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Washington, zip code 98939. God bless you. We will, God willing, we'll be here next week. And have a great 4th of July. I wish you the very best, and for the power of God to come in your life to a great degree. Get in the Word of God. Go and find a church. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you to a church where you can go in and become a part and actually be with other Christians and being built up together. Find a Bible-believing church that declares the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. Be blessed. Be truly blessed. Be saved in every area of your life. Once again, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington, and wishing you the very best in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.